Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with percussionist Pablo Batista to talk about his composition, El Viaje, which means The Journey. It's a work using music, sound, and light, different scenes, and changing rhythms to chart the journey of people from Africa to the Americas. I first asked him when he got the idea to do El Viaje.
This is something that I was developing. It was kind of like an embryo developing me as I developed. It's like I always had this thought, like, wow, I started studying folkloric bata drums, very sacred rhythms and very beautiful polyrhythms. I started studying them, you know, a while back, 15, 20 years ago, and I'm still a baby. I'm still studying. This is the beauty behind this. In studying them and looking at their content of what they did and the polyrhythms, you know, all these different rhythms coming on at the same time. And yeah, I just always had this thought of combining them. I said, wow, it would be awesome to be able to, you know, use these rhythms. And every time I would study and study and study, I would just come up with more and more melodies in my head. Oh, this melody for this rhythm sounds amazing. This rhythm would sound amazing here. So it started developing in my mind. It's just like, and all of a sudden I said, man, I've talked about it for many years before it came to fruition, but it was something that I just put out in the environment. I put it out in the air. I just threw it out there, and the will to do it kind of just worked its way out, because I always wanted to combine these rhythms, and I always wanted to combine like all these different experiences that I had, because I'm a salsero, I'm a conguero, I love Ray Barreto, I love Tata Guinness, I love, you know, Chano Pozo, I love, you know, Anga and Giovanni and all these amazing, you know, Paoli, all these amazing congueros and timbaler Manny Oquendo. I love these traditional players and I study these guys. But what I also have to embrace and love is all the environments and all the things that I've been exposed to coming up, listening to the theme from Rocky, you know, or Earth, Wind & Fire, or AC/DC, or Boston. It's like, I was always trying to figure out a way, man, I can play this on that. Oh, man. I put percussion in klezmer music. I put percussion in everything.
This story tells the story of the forced emigration of people from Africa to the Americas, right? Yes. And if percussion is really central to different people's culture, do you use the changing rhythms as a way of showing the journey?
Yes. It starts real basic. It starts in Africa with basic bata rhythms at a tambor, which is a religious ceremony where they, you know, play drums and sing. And it starts just being at home and then being forced from being home. And it's symbolic of not so much just the African story, but it's symbolic of the global story. It's really about my parents, my grandparents, your parents. It's about people who have had to leave the comfort of their life or their country because they were forced to, whether it's economic slavery, forced slavery, or just wanting a better way. You know, it might not be so bad up in the mountains in Lourdes, but there's a whole lot more to life than this. And so it's very symbolic of the journey that my parents left. My dad and my mom were both came to the United States in the 50s with no one here, with not knowing too many, nobody. And living in a home with people from the island that, you know, a couple cousins came over. You know, Doña Angela from, you know, El Vecino, you know, she lives in Bethlehem now. You call her and she'll put you up. And it was like that, you know. And it's like you got a plane and you didn't even know how you got to where you're going, but they got there. And they didn't have anything. They spoke Spanish. You know, working in factories. You know, the Bethlehem Steel. My mother worked at the Thai factory. My mother couldn't speak English. My mother still doesn't speak English. 84 years old. She said, hello, how you doing? Coffee? You know, she'll feed you. She'll, amazing woman. Just left the gym. It's just amazing. My father's no longer here, but, you know, he had a rough life as a result of working at the Bethlehem Steel. He got emphysema, got sick. He was in the coal mines, and that eventually consumed him. And he passed in 89. So this is kind of like a bit autobiographical. And my story is in here as well. My migration wasn't as far. My migration was from Bethlehem to Philadelphia. And then having to go to fly to LA, to Los Angeles to audition in 89, and which helped me continue on the path that I'm on, you know. So it was always moving, but my migration wasn't as profound as my parents or our ancestors. However, But that being said, I wanted to also do it in a chronological way where it makes sense and all these little themes are built in it, but they're not really very obvious.
So you have this idea of migration, forced migration, having to leave your homeland and settle somewhere else. Well, what's the musical journey?
The connection is it starts very with all the folkloric things that you would hear. There's different scenes. And so the first scene is, it's like the epilogue in the beginning, but then it goes into the awakening, which you'll see is punctuated. It's all punctuated by music. And it's created by the four note motif that I came up with, and then it was embellished by my co-writers Victor Pablo and also Mr. Dennis Guevara, and I gave them the concept of the four note motif, and then we started writing all the other parts. I started adding this, write this down, put this here. This is what we started arranging things and creating the piece around the four note motif. They're musical movements that take you along to a fight scene where all of a sudden someone is forced, and that fight scene is the capture, where there's a fight scene is punctuated by percussion. It's choreographed along with multimedia, and then it goes into another musical movement, which is Yegua, which is a rhythm played on bata, which is, it's really fast, really intense, it's very scary. It's, it's a chase. You can feel it. Your heart's starting. It's like all of a sudden you're seeing this rhythm kicks off, and he fought off the captures, but he's being chased, and eventually he gets captured, and then it goes into the voyage, and it goes into a whole nother set of movements, and these rhythms coincide with the movements. There's a voyage which we call the Middle Passage, and that, in that Middle Passage, they are going across the ocean, which is Yemaya. And Yemaya has her own rhythms, and it can be as beautiful as the beaches of Cancun, or it could be as violent as the tsunamis in Japan. And that's Yemaya, everything in between, whatever that ocean's characteristic, and the music and the movements of the music and the rhythm are all captured in the rhythm. The auto, it starts soft, beautiful, and next thing you know, before you know it, it's that passage. All of a sudden you arrive into the new world and you run into the blues, New Orleans, which is a very sad, it's called The Awakening. Now, The Awakening is a piece that has three compositions or three movements. Each one of the movements is actually almost a whole song by himself, or a separate piece. But we put him under this movement called The Arrival, when he first arrives into the new world. And we wrote a blues, really dark, sad blues. And then we moved chronologically into like a bigger band. As time went on in society, we did a big band jazz arrangement. And then the next piece, it was a neo-soul rhythm. It was the feel that I wanted to incorporate because it kind of notes us moving into the present day. So chronologically, we started off with really old blues, and then we went into the bigger band, and then now we went to the neo-soul sound. And those are all sounds that I've been involved with in my life. Those are all musical idioms that I've played and been involved with. So for me, those movements have some autobiographical sentiment for me. And then, especially the neo-soul part as well as the blues. But the neo-soul part, I played with Jill Scott, and it was a whole part of the whole neo-soul, and playing at this club called The Five Spot, which the whole neo-soul kind of developed from, where the roots. I used to play at this club called The Five Spot down at 2nd and Banks. On Thursday nights, we played salsa with the Latin Playboys for 7 years, and I was the conga player. But on Wednesday nights, they had the Neo Soul night. So I would go down on Wednesday nights too, the Black Lily. It was called the Black Lily. And from that Black Lily, the Roots came out of there, Jill Scott came out of there, Jaguar Wright came out of there. Oh my God, it goes on and on and on. It goes on. There's a whole slew of Philadelphians that came out of the Black Lily. And I was right there, incorporating my little conga grooves when I felt like it, because I knew, I didn't go often, but I would go down, make my presence known and meet these people and hang out. Eventually, I started working with Jill Scott. And so that whole Neo Soul thing, it had a presence in my life, and so we incorporated that. And then from there, it moves on into, another movement. It kind of simulates a simulation
of our ancestors into the United States, and they start getting themselves together. They start getting jobs. They start doing okay. They start developing a family, you know, contributing to society and becoming a part of the economic structure of the United States. The next piece that I wrote after that is a piece that I wrote on my first record called Cerraron la Factoría, which means they closed the factory. Cerraron la Factoría actually turned into, they opened up the steel stacks, and it's a beautiful venue. It's up there. So now it's not, you know, like this gloomy afterthought of, oh my God, they closed the factory, everybody's gone, this is a ghost town. No, they revitalized the whole city, and now it's the steel stacks, which they have amazing concerts. Every, you know, in fact, I just performed there this past summer. It was amazing. So we go from Cerraron la Factoría, which is a bomba, and it starts off with a very legato, very slow, sad movement, but then it moves on to the reality of, listen, life's not going to be that bad. We're going to get through this, and the rhythm kind of dictates that, because it's a happy rhythm. Boom, 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 ba, doom, 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 ba. Even though the message is they close the factory, what am I going to do? Well, we're going to get through. We're going to get a job here. We're going to make it. We're going to sell. You know, we're going to sell fruit. We're going to sell vegetables. We're going to hustle. Those are the things that, those are the lyrics. So it's kind of like a beautiful love story, because it's kind of like just about a man and a woman, but also about being able to go from one point A and to get to point Z and still be, have integrity and have all these experiences and ancestors that helped you along that path to get to that home. It ends at home.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.